You know, we all might agree that mothers are much more important than just these character traits. And I'm not just referring to the fact that they gave birth to us. That's kind of a given, right? But, you know, mothers are significant. The reason why I titled this is because the motherhood of God is that I believe that motherhood is in the very nature of who God is. And I know that's going to take some explaining. I'm not trying to say God is feminine. That's not where I'm going. God has no gender. He's a spirit. Okay? Or I should say the triune God has no gender. As a spirit, he's beyond gender. Or as one author put it, he's even transcends gender. When God chose to reveal himself to us, he did so in masculine form, in Jesus Christ. Partially that was due to the male leadership of the time and the society that in which he was placed. John Feinberg, in his book, No One Like Him, he says this, Christ is truly God and truly human. But the point of his humanity is not his gender, but that he is one with humanity, and that includes both men and women. God did create both male and female. So let's look at Genesis 1:26-27. I got to get through all this stuff at the beginning of the... There we go. All right, Genesis 1:26. It says, Then God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So that's the first time we actually see the Trinity mentioned in the Bible. God says right there, let us make man in our image. What does it mean to make man in the image of God? Well, part of that means that we have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit, right? And that is part of being created in the image of God. But it's not just limited to that. So when he says, let us make man, the word man there it actually is translated Adam, which is where we get Adam from, but it means mankind. So he's saying, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, mankind, male and female, he created them. So when God created mankind, he created male and female, both to represent his image. And that's significant. Because we wouldn't get a clear picture of who God is without both male and female. So that's why I entitled it The Motherhood of God. One author put it this way, masculine and feminine characteristics reflect attributes of God that resonate in the core being of our souls and personalities. So the attributes of God resonate in our core being and our personalities. Focus on the Family, in one of their articles, stated this, every woman will show her femininity in a unique way, and each man will display masculinity in a unique way. Our masculinity and femininity are seen first in our body, but then seen in our person, our identity, and character. And both masculine and feminine reflect things about God's character. Justice and mercy, strength and beauty, nurturing and protection. They're both vitally important to see the character of who God is. When the Bible refers to God our Father, it does not mean that he is our physical father. Camille references in the song, God our Father. It means that he is acting like our Father. He's acting like a father would. Protection. Strength. He's our spiritual father, right? He gives us life. The Bible also refers to him in male languages throughout the whole Bible. And really, we could, you know, it was due to the society of the Bible and the patriarchal, and we could spend a whole nother series sermon talking about that. But God used male language, and in that, he was not trying to diminish what I'm going to refer to as his feminine characteristics. Okay? God created both genders. In Genesis, God said it was not good for man to be alone. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, he created a companion, Eve, a helper for Adam. I believe that God's creation of Eve after man was not an, oh no, I messed up, now I got to go back and fix it. Okay? Oh, I forgot something. What was that? Oh yeah, I was supposed to, that was not the purpose of it. Rather, it was to distinguish her from Adam. They're two unique individuals. You know the saying that you don't realize what you have until you lose it, right? Well, this is kind of the reverse for Adam. He needed to realize what he was by himself, and then God gave him a helper. And then he could reflect back on how he was alone and how God made this special person for him. As some of you might have heard this saying, from Matthew Henry before, God did not take a bone from Adam's foot, signifying less value or less worth for Adam to be trampled upon. Nor did God take a piece of bone from Adam's head, signifying that she should rule over man, but from his side, so that she would be close to his heart. This signifies equality. One gender is not superior over another gender. I believe that both fatherhood and motherhood together express the whole picture of the character of God. In a world that is trying to blur the lines between genders, for instance, just look at Facebook. They have now over 60 options for users' genders. So you got 60 different options to choose from. I believe that gender distinction is important for a proper biblical worldview, for a proper view of who God is. Just like the character traits that we equate to fatherhood are found in the nature of God, the character traits that we equate to motherhood are also found in the very nature of God. John Piper stated it this way: everything created in a woman that sets her off from man comes from God and reflects something of him. Woman was not modeled after some other God. There is no other God. She was modeled after God. Maleness and femaleness are God's creation as biological bearers of masculinity and femininity, both of which are rooted in God. Is God not full of compassion and abundant in mercy? Does God not have undying devotion to his children? Is not our God humble and long-suffering? Is not what Christ did the ultimate show of sacrificial love? The character traits that are shown in motherhood are directly from the very nature of God. And I want to bring your attention to a few women of the Bible that exemplified some of these character traits. I think I've got a list up there. Noah's wife, commitment. I mean, she stuck with him for over 100 years while he built a boat. That takes some commitment right there. Moses' mother, faith, to put her child in a basket on the Nile River. Hannah, undying devotion to offer up her child to live in the temple to serve God for the rest of his life. Ruth, commitment to family, to a family she really wasn't even born into. But yet she committed herself to it and humbled herself to Boaz and to the community. So here's a weird one. I'm reminded of Solomon, right? When he was judging between the two women and they were arguing over a child. I know this is really weird. Bear with me. So they were arguing over this child, right? Because one of the women had accidentally smothered her child in the night. And so they both claimed it. And Solomon's going, scratching his head, going, I have no clue. Lord, give me wisdom. And he did. He gave him wisdom and discernment. But what did the one mother say? Because Solomon said what? Chop the child in half and give both halves to each mother. Okay. And the one mother said, no, I'd rather that he not even be raised with me and still be alive than to see my child chopped in half. Sacrificial love. And I think of Mary. Mary, the mother of Christ, the humility that she showed. You never see in Scripture that she bragged it, that she flaunted it, that she was proud of it. That humility that she showed, birthing the Christ child. So there's just a few women in the Bible that exemplify these character traits of motherhood. So what I want to look at now is some of the character traits that we equate to motherhood and how they're described, or how Christ is described that way. So Isaiah chapter 66, 13, this is in your bulletin. It says, God is pictured as a comforting mother, as one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you. Isaiah 49, verse 5, God is pictured as a compassionate mother that will not forget her child. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Psalm 71, verse 6, God is likened to a midwife, but you have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my womb, my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. Hosea chapter 13 and verse 8, God is described as a protective mother bear. I like this one. I will meet them like a bear deprived of her cubs. I will tear open their rib cage, and there will I devour them like a lion. Everybody knows, don't cross a mama bear. Luke chapter 13 verse 34. Jesus describes himself as a mother hen gathering and protecting her chicks. O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. You know, one article I read had over 26 verses that they listed on motherhood characteristics of God. Many times we see these, what we call motherhood characteristics, come from God, and we don't even recognize them as characteristics of God. You know, many times we as humans, we struggle between understanding God and this concept of God's anger and his compassion, his justice and his forgiveness, right? There's kind of this dichotomy of God, but yet they're both part of God. And we, as created beings, are both created in the image of God. So some of the character traits, Psalms 145:8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. Psalms 119, verses 115. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Psalms 36:5. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. So on Mother's Day, how can we take this and apply it? This concept that motherhood is found in the very nature of who God is. How can we honor our mothers? First off, I believe that we need to recognize that those traits and mother's traits are reflective of the very nature of God, do come from God, are very part of who God is. Mothers show us a more complete picture of who God is. Jesus was holy man and holy God. And we see all of those traits, both the fatherhood characteristics and the motherhood characteristics, in the very nature of Jesus Christ. Compassion, mercy, long-suffering. I believe these character traits need to be part of our lives. And I venture to say that none of us, even the mothers here today, have mastered these character traits. Also, we need to thank God for mothers, both physical and spiritual, and how they model these traits to us. We also need not to just recognize and be thankful for them, but aspire to live these traits out in our lives, whether you're a mother or not. Obviously, some of these traits are going to be easier for some of us, right? Easier, maybe. So, confession time. I'll be the first to admit mercy. You know, it was on that list at the beginning, mercy. It's like, okay, it's not there. Mercy is not my strong suit at all. So the line at my house is, are you ready for this? Suck it up, buttercup. That's my line. And my kids know it. But you know when your wife gives you that look and all of a sudden it makes you stop and you go, okay, yeah, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. Yeah, that happens quite often. And I have to stop myself and I have to listen to them and show mercy and show compassion. You know, you have to hug them, tell them it's all right. Dig the splinter out of their foot, you know, those kinds of things. I am reminded that God listens to us and assures us that everything is going to be all right, just like a mother. I have one closing video here it touched me, and my wife reminded me that it might have been something that we've seen recently, but I thought it was so applicable that we should watch it again. So here it is.
Thank you. All right, let's all stand together.
We all need to aspire to be more like mothers. And in aspiring to be more like mothers, we'll become more like Christ. Our closing verse is Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. It says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." You're dismissed.